We got the man, the myth, the legend. Josh Reddick joins us right now, straight out of the Astros outfield. He's joining us on the show, The Usual Suspects. Josh, welcome to the show. We have been wanting this for a long time. It is an honor to have you on the program.
Guys, how we doing? Doing good.
Good, good.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for being here, man. So my first question that I've been waiting to ask you this since you got here and started playing and the wooing started. Did you intend for that to happen? Because that's a big deal now in Houston.
No, not one bit, actually. the first homestand of the year in that extra inning game when George hit his walk-off homer, you know, I think it was like the 11th or 12th, and fans just started randomly doing it. And I liked it. So, you know, the next day I was trying to figure out what kind of theme I wanted to go with for walk-up music, and it kind of clicked. So I didn't know it would jump off like this. I figured, you know, we'd have some fans every now and then, every game doing it every now and then, but it just seems that it's caught on like crazy, and we're running with it, and you know, they seem to have a good time with it, so that's all that matters.
Dude, there's shirts that say Wooston now, so you must be super proud of this.
I am. I haven't really ever had this treatment before in my life where, you know, jerseys and T-shirt sales have gone in my favor, so it is pretty cool to actually have that, you know, on your tally, I guess would be the right way to say it. You have, you know, fans that actually want to buy your stuff and buy your product. So it is cool, and it's definitely a first for me. So it's definitely a honor to have such great support here and actually have some people want to buy my stuff.
And you're no stranger to this. In 2014, you walked up, your walk-up music was Careless Whisper by Wham, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're used to having that eccentric walk-out music, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, anytime you want to get the fans involved, and anytime they look forward to your walk-up song, it's going to be a good time because that means they're watching and they're paying attention. So it's funny, you know, Careless Whisper is actually the only one that hasn't really got me, I guess, focused and locked in at the plate to where, you know, a wrestling theme would. But, you know, when I started using it, I started hitting, so there was really no backing away from it. And, you know, just having more wrestling music is always going to get me fired up, and the way the fans respond whenever the song comes on, and, you know, it feels like the whole stadium's wooing at the same time, so it feels like you're kind of in a WWE arena, so that's even better for me as well.
It's okay. We've admitted on the show, everybody's a closet George Michael fan, so, you know, Careless Whisper, you know, like if it gets the job done, you got to go with it. You came out and you expressed yourself.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't care if it was Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up. If I started hitting with it, I walk up to it. So we're superstitious baseball players, so whatever we think works, if it works, it's not, you know, dumb or crazy.
So talk about the fact that you chose Houston. I'm interested. You saw the roster. Just kind of walk us through the process. You're a free agent. You choose Houston. And then the second part of that would be, and then we know about the belt. We know about all the different things in the locker room. You, McCann, Beltran, you come into that locker room. Was it an instant thing where you felt like you could kind of take some leadership roles and responsibilities, or was it over time to win the kids over to get them all on the same page when you guys started doing the belt and some of the fun stuff?
The transition over here was pretty easy. These guys were, you know, very welcoming, and with guys that are, I guess, so young, I guess it might make it a little easier for somebody who's been in the league a little bit while, you know, with Beltran and McCann, they've got leaps and bounds amount of service time over somebody like me. So I keep getting this comparison to being a veteran here. I don't really see it as me being a veteran. I'm kind of still in that middle ground where I can teach a little bit, but I'm also still in the process of learning a lot about this game. I still have Carlos still teaching me all kinds of things. And, you know, Brian and I talk a lot about different aspects of the game, about preparing in the game, keeping your focus when you're not in the plate, and all this kind of little intangibles you don't really see focused on. But at the same time, I'm kind of here to answer some people's questions if they need it. You know, I have some guys come up to me and, you know, ask me certain questions, and I'm more than happy to oblige. And if I don't know the answer, I'll tell them, or I'll go ask, you know, Carlos or somebody like Brian who may know the answer. So I'm still kind of learning this process of becoming somebody who wants to be a leader, but, you know, I've really never seen myself as a clubhouse leader. I'd rather be a leader on the field by showing, you know, not only our guys, but the guys across the way that, you know, this game can't be taken for granted. If I'm going to ground out, I'm going to run it out, I'm going to bust my butt down the line, because you never know what can happen. And as a free agency process, you know, after playing against these guys for years and seeing the struggles they were going through for the past few years about, you know, losing all these games and developing their team to become a winning team, and it just seemed like it was the right time for me to come over here, and these guys made it pretty simple. They came so aggressive with their offer and made it clear that I was their number one priority to get in the free agent market, and nobody else told me that. And then obviously with you know, the talent level that we do have here, obviously it showed, and, you know, it just made that decision that much easier because I knew this team was on the rise. And, you know, in this business, you want to still go out there and win ball games. And so this was the obvious choice for me, and, you know, it's really paying off well.
I know that I saw this the other day. In fact, I brought it up on the show, but I saw that Stephen Vogt got designated for assignment. That hit you kind of hard. You guys were friends, right?
Well, Voter and I have become really close over the last, you know, 3.5 years of playing together. Stephen was one of those guys that, you know, you could talk to about anything, whether it be baseball or life or off the field stuff. And, you know, he was always there in the clubhouse to keep everybody in a, you know, I guess, calm frame of mind and make sure we did everything right. He was just a great guy to have around because he was going to keep you very upbeat. He's always a happy guy, and, you know, he's just one of those guys who loves being around, and he's a great human being. So I was very, you know, I felt like I was hurt as much as those guys that were still playing with him over there because Stephen and I have had such good times and so many great years together that I felt really, you know, really hurt by it. And, you know, for a clubhouse like that, especially with a young clubhouse that they do have, you figure you want to keep somebody like that around to kind of police the clubhouse. But, you know, they obviously went in a different direction. And you know, with the circumstances that have happened now with Stephen going to the Brewers, he's on a contending team. And that was what I told him. I told him I hope he goes to a contending team and goes out there and starts raking. So, and we'll see what happens. But Steven's a good player and a good hitter, and you know, very happy for him that he did get to go to a contender.
He's in the mecca of everything sports now, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, That's my hometown. I just had to throw that in there. But from the standpoint of just what you talked about, you leave Oakland, you leave the Moneyball process, you leave, it seems like, the constant revolving door, and now you walk into a team that has a process, has a system, has backups. You miss 7 days. Even a guy like Derek Fisher brought up, he starts raking two bombs. Looks like he's got a lot of potential. But just the depth on this team and the fact that they're so focused on winning has to be a great breath of fresh air for you.
Of course. I mean, it's not like a whole lot of other teams where you see guys get days off and you're downgrading some guys that get in the lineup that may not see, you know, action every day. It seems like, you know, when guys get days off, like yesterday you had a guy like Marwin, who's been swinging the bat so well for us this year coming up. And, you know, even with the guys that you keep on the bench, it's not really much of a, you know, letdown because, you know, I've been with those teams where you can get pinch hit four or your 7, 8, 9 guys, the kind of guys you're kind of hoping get on base just to kind of, you know, get the team rolling. And here you don't really have that thought. You have the process of our 1 through 9, no matter who's in there, is going to get the job done, get us a great chance to win, and go about it that way. And if we need to go on later down the road to pinch hitter defensive substitution, we're ready for that. So it's just a team of talent and studs that, you know, can get the job done no matter when we need them to.
Like, even if you were asked to play left field, which I know you were thrilled to do, right?
Very, very, very thrilled. It had been a few years since I'd done it, but deep down I knew I could do it. It's just about relearning the process of doing it. And anytime you can keep, you know, your other teammates comfortable in their spots, even though they may be 3 to 5 years younger than you and they can't transition over and play all these outfield positions, that, you know, you let the older guy go out there and show these young bucks how it's done. So I you know, give him a little hard time for the older outfielder being the one that has to transition to all three as opposed to just one or two. So but very happy I'm here to do whatever we need to do to win. And I know that's maybe the most cliche answer you can hear, but deep down, that's what I believe in, and if I got to play right for 7 and play left for 2 or start left, and by all means do it, because, you know, you look what Jake's doing. Jake's swinging the bat really well this year, and, you know, you just got to keep giving that guy at bat, and we won't even comment on Springer because we all know what he's doing and capable of.
Well, right, and the thing is, too, talk a little bit about the fact that once you made the decision to come to Houston, you were right there on Twitter to let everybody know. Talk about how important social media is to you and how much fun you have with it, because I know from a fan's perspective, they love the fact that they get that extra connection with one of their favorite players with what you do on social media.
Yeah, I mean, social media just seems like a great way to interact with fans without actually, you know, running the risk of running into some crazy ones off the field. But you know, because these guys do love their baseball to a certain extent. So it is fun to be able to interact on Twitter, Instagram, you know, maybe even go as far as Snapchat. But I feel like social media is just a great way to interact with everybody. And, you know, we may not comment or respond to every fan that we can. We'd like to, but, you know, it's just kind of tough to do that. But we do the best we can at interacting with some people. And if people say some, you know, stuff that may go over the line, I'll let them know and bring them back down to speed. And because, you know, the fun thing for me is I run all my stuff myself. I don't want somebody else running my thing because I feel like I have a different personal connection. I want to still be myself within reason. And, you know, there's some stuff you got to, certain things you got to police on there. But, you know, at the same time, if you do it in the right way, you can still have fun with it. And that's what it's all about for me, is having fun with it and just sometimes being able to talk smack with, you know, other teams' fans, whether it be wrestling or baseball or any other kind of aspect, as long as we keep it in reason, it keeps it fun. So I like to have fun with it, and they seem to enjoy it as well.
So we'll never hear that you got hacked, right?
I hope not. I hope not. But, you know, with technology and the way people are working today, it's always very possible. But I feel like I got a very strong password. I don't think people are going to be guessing my password anytime soon.
Does it involve the word bulldog? I'm just kidding. It does not.
It does not. I don't create my passwords based on characteristics of myself.
Josh Reddick joins us on the HRMP listener line. So my question, and it's kind of probably putting you on the spot a little bit, but I'm curious what you would say. Who is the MVP of this team? There are so many candidates. In your mind, who's the MVP of this team?
Wow. Yeah, I don't know if you can really pick one. I guess if you could kind of narrow it down, I think you'd have to go between Springer, Altuve, and Correa. All their numbers are completely different in aspect, with, you know, 23 homers, and I think he's leading the team, maybe second on the team in RBIs out of the leadoff spot. So it just goes to show you how often our bottom of our lineup is getting on base for him, and he's not missing very many opportunities. I mean, I think I saw yesterday he's the best hitter with, you know, two outs and runners in scoring position in the whole major league. So that speaks a lot of volume for him, but you can't really look past it. What Altuve's done for his career, and he just keeps doing it now, and Correa's having, you know, a very good all-star season, possibly, you know, an MVP for the whole league. So just those three guys, I think, are a huge core for us, and it's just ironic because they hit 1, 3, and 4, but they just seem to be getting the job done all the time. And still amazed at how many weird hits Jose Altuve gets, because he's the luckiest little thing on the planet at the box. So it's very fun to watch. It's very fun to be a part of it, as well as frustrating, because you hit balls that don't even come close to being hits, and he hits the same ball and he's beating them out by 10 feet. So very frustrating, but at the same time, it's very, very nice to have on this side, because I've been watching it on the other side too many times where he gets all these, you know, not also just well-driven balls that are plenty of hits, but some of those balls that are just kind of dropping in, and, you know, top spin balls that are in the infield for singles. And you just got to give him a hard time, because he's always smiling about it too. So it's definitely fun to watch.
Careful with those little comments, though. They can get you in trouble. just a quick question about the success on the road. I mean, you guys have a better road record than I believe any other team in the major leagues has as a home record. I mean, what's the secret to the success away from the juice box?
I have no clue. For me personally, it's been complete flip-flop. I've been a way better hitter here at home than I have on the road. So I've been kind of trying to transition that. But I really don't know if I have an answer for that. Maybe we just like getting out with the roof being open. And I know a lot of us here love the roof closed, because the ball does carry better. But I mean, I guess maybe it's just the fact of getting out of a dome and going on the road and hitting. I really don't have any answer for it. I think it's just a matter of us going out there wanting to win. Because, if you know, they always say if you play 500 on the road and, you know, win at home, you're going to be a playoff team every year. So I think that's just one way we might look at it, but I think we just go out there and try to win every game. I really don't have a specific reason for it. Maybe we just like getting away from Houston. I really don't know.
All right, Josh, one more question for you. We'll let you go. There's talks of the Astros going out and making a move for a frontline starter on this team. A name that comes up a lot is a guy used to play with, Sonny Gray. Is he the answer? Is he the one?
He can definitely help this ball club. I don't see him coming in and hurting it. I don't know if we can say any true pitcher is like the answer for us, because once we get our guys back, once we get Dallas and Chuck and Colin back, it's going to be a force to be reckoned with anyways. But if you have somebody like that who has been in the playoffs, you know, hunt before, and, you know, had that number one mentality, and you throw him in a rotation with these guys, maybe put him in the three hole behind Lance and Dallas, it's going to be, you know, very, very, very scary if you're an opposing hitter. So yeah, I think that Sonny can come over and help us big time, because, you know, I've been there, and he's a guy who can, you know, once he gets that feel of winning again, he's going to get that mentality back to go out there and fight. And not saying he's not now, but I think it just does make it a lot easier when you're on a winning club. And I think coming into this clubhouse will be something that could, you know, jumpstart that right back to him to where he can come out here and, you know, help the Astros win a ring, because isn't that what we all want?
No doubt. No question about it. Hey, man, and we appreciate you spending some time with us. If you had one way back song, your favorite TV theme song of all time, what would it be?
My favorite TV theme song?
Yep.
Ooh. Wow. TV theme song from way back.
Or anytime.
I mean, I'm going to stick to the old school stuff. Let's see. I'm trying to think of child. Remember the show Nickelodeon, Nick at Night, Doug?
Doug?
Doug Funny?
I don't, but we'll find it.
Look it up on YouTube. It's one of my favorite shows growing up. And if I could come across it to this day, I think I'd still probably watch it.
Okay, nice. The inside information from Josh Reddick. Believe me, we're going to find it before the end of the show, and we're going to play it because we appreciate you that much. Hey, man, thanks so much for spending some time with us, and don't be a stranger. You're welcome anytime here with The Usual Suspects.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Josh Reddick right there on the HR&P listener line. That is good stuff. That's what we try to bring to you. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with much more. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.